The Biden administration would like us to spend some $2 trillion on infrastructure. That's amazing. What the heck is infrastructure? I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angles brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com, who are the infrastructure of this amazing content machine known as BillWhittle.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration is intending to spend some $2 trillion, and there's a big debate carried on today, actually, in the pages of the New York Times as we record this episode about what infrastructure actually means. Not like a literal Webster's definition of the word, but what it has come to mean. Stephen Green, historically, when people thought of infrastructure spending, they thought of a couple of things: roads, bridges, ports, airports, and, you know, back in the day, canals, although there's still a lot of crucial canals in this country. That definition has been expanded. And in this New York Times story, I clipped out a little snippet here that the new definition essentially is economic assets that support and enable economic activity. And Steve, this is why Republicans are slamming this as just another big spending pork barrel bill that's trying to cram all the Democrats' favored projects and policies into something that's a must-pass bill because everybody cares about infrastructure. Steve, very seriously, things have changed in the last 50 to 100 years. Maybe the definition of infrastructure needs to change when manufacturing is actually a very small percentage of the jobs in this country. Intellectual property is now number one, and it's an information age. Maybe we need to include broadband and other things that include that foster economic activity. What do you think?
Yeah, but I'll get to that in just a second. First, I want to say, if you stripped out all the non-infrastructure spending out of this bill, even under our broadened understanding of what infrastructure means, you end up with, I think, maybe not even a third of the $2.9 trillion or whatever it is in this bill. There's a lot of blue state
7%.
Bailouts. Yeah. Oh, so it's even worse than I thought. Well, it usually is. Yeah. Firefly reference. The subject of infrastructure is fascinating, though, especially since I read so much history. Every time there's been an innovation in infrastructure, there's been an explosion in wealth. And the first one you mentioned is probably the first one, canals, which made water travel, transport possible where it wasn't before. And what infrastructure is, I don't really care for the White House's definition. I'll use my own here. Infrastructure is anything that facilitates communications. Communications isn't just people talking to each other. Communications is the movement of goods and services and information, all of those things. So infrastructure is anything that facilitates that. First big infrastructure projects, of course, canals, which made commerce much less expensive. So there was your explosion of wealth there. The next infrastructure, I guess, would be the railroads, which led to another huge expansion of wealth, because now you could trade even where there weren't waterways. You could cross mountains with these trains. It was an incredible thing. And then, of course, airports and air travel. Air travel made things incredibly less expensive because you could do things so much faster. And the internet doubled down on what air travel could do. The next big explosion in infrastructure is going to be in space, because if you have a big enough constellation of low Earth orbit satellites, now the internet, high speed internet, can be anywhere. The thing is, Elon Musk is already doing this. And he's doing it without adding to the debt. I don't know if you're familiar with Starlink, but eventually it's going to include something like 12,000 to 40,000 of these tiny, practically disposable satellites that will give you gigabit or higher internet speeds anywhere in the world once this constellation is opened up. And that is going to be another huge explosion of wealth, because you'll be able to do 5G and AI literally anywhere in the world to anywhere else in the world practically instantaneously. And that's not in this bill. That's rockets being launched from Texas and Florida and California. That's privately owned satellites that are doing this. So when we talk about this next big stage of infrastructure growth, it's already happening as long as Washington doesn't ruin it.
Bill Whittle, there were a couple of little quotations in this story that I found jarring is probably a good way to say it. And it raised questions about what is considered infrastructure now. For example, creating high-paying union jobs benefits the economy, raising wages for home health workers. And I'll give you a little quote from a White House economic advisor related to that. Here's her justification for including that kind of spending, the home health workers, in the infrastructure bill. I couldn't be going to work if I had to take care of my parents. How is that, meaning that senior care, health care, not infrastructure? Bill, without being overtly sarcastic, I'm wondering if you could help this lady understand, as well as some of our viewers who may be seeing this for the first time, why is that not infrastructure that should be something that we, on a national level, get behind to make sure that people's senior parents are taken care of so that they can go to work?
Well, words have meanings, and that's why we have language. And that's why language allows us to communicate, because words have specific meanings. And the word cat generally means a small furry animal and doesn't refer to, let's say, an ocean liner. Because if cat could be applied to an ocean liner, then the word cat would have no meaning, and neither would ocean liner, and so on. So what does the word infrastructure mean? Well, the word the infra part of infrastructure is the same as infrared. It means below the red. Infrastructure is structure that is below the surface. The traditional meaning of infrastructure would be things like electrical lines, sewer lines, water mains. They're below the surface. They're unseen. And because they're unseen, they can go to hell in a fairly spectacular fashion because they're unseen. And since they're unseen, they are a specific category of structure, but it is a structure that's built into the word as well. Now, you can expand this idea. A city cannot survive without the parts of the city that are unseen. You cannot have a city without underground electrical lines. You cannot have a city without underground water lines. You can't have a city without underground sewer lines. You can't have a city without any of that stuff. That's infrastructure. You can expand that definition to some degree to things like roads and bridges, which are visible, but nevertheless imply the same thing. They are part of the physical structure of the country. And that is the thing that needs to be constantly remarked upon. When you ask me to explain it to people who may not get it, the word structure means a physical construct. Same root of the word, structure, construct. It is something that is built. It is a physical entity. It's not personnel. It's not electricity. Although the structure that moves electricity is infrastructure. So you started this out with the answer to the question. You were talking about infrastructure in your introduction, and you said, and this should be the epitaph, the United States. That definition has been expanded. That's the problem that we're in today. That definition has been expanded. The Commerce Clause in the Constitution was designed to make the states unable to exchange things at different rates with one state than with another. Minnesota can't cut a deal with a New Jersey that's different than the deal it might cut with Alabama. That's what the Commerce Clause was there for, limited to states, foreign powers, and Indian tribes. But once Congress rules that Congress has the right to regulate commerce, then there's no restrictions on Congress whatsoever. It can do whatever it wants to. Anything can fit under the Commerce Clause and has, and that's why we have a $30 trillion budget. By opening up the definition of infrastructure to include things like jobs and people and salaries and anything that is not physical structure, it's simply defining open the ability to give money to people in exchange for votes. And when 7% of this bill deals with actual infrastructure, as the word is intended to mean, you know what you've got. And I just say one final thing about the sort of the high-end new stuff on infrastructure, things like fiber optic cables and Starlink and things that Steve mentioned. Money spent on infrastructure needs to be money spent on public assets, or at least somewhat public assets. The roads of the Los Angeles are worse than the roads in Cairo and Istanbul, significantly worse. People coming from China and all around the world constantly remark about how run down everything in America is, the roads, the airports, everything. That is essentially publicly owned structures that are fallen into disrepair and that need some work. Same with the electrical grid and so on. But But fiber optic lines, for example, do not fall into that category because I'm being charged for fiber optic lines. They're already getting paid to maintain those lines because I'm paying an internet service provider a certain amount of money every month in order to have those lines. Same with Starlink. If I decide to opt into Starlink, I will be paying Starlink to maintain those systems. Infrastructure repairs are supposed to be public money spent on public structures. That's it, pretty much in a nutshell. Public money spent on public structures They're not luxuries. They're required. They're essential. You have to have these things. Public money spent on essential public structures. That's how I would define it.
I think there are a couple of ways of looking at this. And, you know, the mind grapples with analogies that say it correctly. And there's always limitations to analogies. But it occurred to me while Bill was talking that if you had a business that was a going concern and you told your investors that you intended to borrow a bunch of money that you were going to pay back over the course of 30 or 40 years to cover payroll. This year, you were going to borrow all that money so that you could pay your workers, your investors would be very alarmed. If you said you were going to borrow a bunch of money to buy mining equipment or oil drilling equipment or to build a factory or to do some other kind of capital expenditure, then your investors would be happy because you're increasing the capacity of the company to produce the product which it produces. And there's good debt and there's bad debt. Borrowing money to pay payroll, especially when you're an up and going concern, not some, you know, VC startup, bad debt. So I think if you look at this bill and say, okay, what's good debt and bad debt here? Borrowing money or printing money, as the federal government has the capability of doing, in order to pay home health care workers in the short run because you think we need more of them, or to pay union members because you think we need high-paying union jobs, or to create make work so that unions can get these jobs. All of that is not something that you would borrow long-term. You'd want to fund that out of operational cash flow. You'd want to fund that out of the income and the expenditures that go out on a year-to-year basis or month-to-month basis. So that's number one about this. Number two, I thought it was interesting that the entire story was debating over the definition of infrastructure, as if there was a codicil in the Constitution that said that the federal government has to spend money on infrastructure. When in fact, the real question should have been, okay, first of all, are these worthy objectives? Should money be spent to do any of these things? Okay. Second question, who should do it? Is it the federal government? As Bill or Steve hinted, if you've got a federal highway, then yeah, the federal government is probably the responsible level of expenditures there, the agency that's responsible for taking care of that. And there should be a sinking fund in place for every one of those federal highways so that maintenance can be taken care of on an ongoing basis. If it's a local road, that's not the federal government's responsibility. So where is the locus of responsibility? Is it at the state level? Is it at the local level? Is it a federal responsibility? Or is it none of those? Is it not a government responsibility at all, but rather individuals? For example, Elon Musk taking it into his own hands to say, hey, I think there should be a whole satellite belt around the earth so that everybody could get gigabit internet speeds with 20 millisecond latency. That can be done on a private basis. And so these are the questions that really policymakers should be asking. And the problem with the media and politicians is they want to corner you into answering the question, is this a good thing or bad thing? And if you say, well, you know, it's probably a good thing, well, therefore the federal government should be running it. That's not the obvious answer to that question. You can say, yes, it's a good thing. I think home healthcare workers should be paid more. How does that happen? What is the agency for making home healthcare workers paid more? So maybe that happens through private insurance. Maybe that happens through individuals who are able to pay home healthcare workers. Maybe the organizations that have home healthcare workers diminish their profits a little bit so that they can increase the income of their workers. And so therefore they have better workers who will stay around for longer. All of these just to suggest to you that when you hear a government proposal that basically says, here's a good thing, cough up the dough to pay for it, or let us print it, or let us borrow it for the future, the questions you should ask should have really little to do with whether you think it's a good thing or not. The question is, who should do it? And 9 out of 10 times, the stuff that you hear being promoted as a good thing on a national level shouldn't be done on a national level at all. I will give credit to the New York Times in a final quotation here, where they somehow got a hold of a Harvard professor who said this: "It's very hard to do this much infrastructure spending at this scale quickly and wisely. I wish it were more closely tied to cost-benefit analyses." Final nail in the coffin of the whole idea. Basically, even if it is a good idea and you think the federal government should do it, you may want to rethink that, because ramping up spending at that scale and managing that at the federal government level with no cost-benefit analysis is bound to lead to misappropriation of funds and to your objective not being accomplished and only requiring more money later on. And the people who promote it at that time will say the problem with the $2.9 trillion infrastructure bill is it should have been $6 trillion. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.